Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
To England now, where there is a buzz in the air today because they're entering another stage of their phased reopening. Non-essential retail, gyms, hairdressers and outdoor hospitality are all open once again. But one pub chain boss has warned that if bar staff are asked to turn people away who are not vaccinated, it will be the last straw for struggling pubs. Wetherspoon's founder and chairman of the UK's biggest pub chain, Tim Martin, joins us from the Imperial Pub in Exeter. Good morning to you, Tim.
Morning, Claire.
Thank you very much for joining us. I'm also joined on the line by Professor Sam McConkie, infectious disease specialist at RCSI, University of Medicine and Health Sciences. Sam, good morning to you.
And good morning.
I'll come to you in a moment, Sam, because Tim, it's a good day for you. I'm watching pictures of people on Sky News here all morning having haircuts and preparing to go out for a beer with their lunch later on today. I'm sure you welcome this, but it means that half of your premises are still closed.
Half are still closed, and probably three quarters or more of the space of the ones that are open are closed, because that's the space which is inside. Yeah, so we're not throwing our hats in the air, especially since this is, we've done it a bit differently to Ireland. This is our third lockdown that's semi-ended. So we've been led up to the top of the hill like the Grand Old Duke of York and back down again. So we'll see what happens, Claire.
Is it viable, economically viable, for many of those premises to be open today?
We're losing £4 million a week in lockdown, and it'll go down, we hope, to about £3 million. So we're still losing a lot of money, but it's more viable than being completely shut, in short.
You've been very critical of government policy on occasion over the course of the pandemic. And now one of your major concerns, as I said there in the beginning, is that your staff will be asked to check whether people have been vaccinated or not and refuse them entry if they haven't had their shots.
Yes, I mean, I think what's happened is there have been a lot of arbitrary rules. But we reopened last July with a very full set of agreed measures with the health authorities, with people like Sam, based on social distancing and hygiene. And at Wetherspoon Pubs, we had 50 million customer visits registered without a single outbreak, not one. And the pub industry as a whole was also very good. So you can get COVID in a pub if you kiss the barman or whatever, but if you social distance, then you won't. So the idea of passports to go to a pub, I think, given the low level of infections, is unnecessary. Mm-hmm. If everyone's vaccinated, especially.
And Sam, can I bring you in on that point? Because Tim says, and you heard him say it there, you can get COVID in the pub if you kiss the barman, or if you're kissing people who you don't normally live with. Let's be careful here, right? But if you are responsible and you operate within your bubble and you get your table service, you'll actually be fine in a pub, would be his point.
Yeah, and I think we certainly achieved that here in Ireland back in June, July, August of last year. I would say to Tim that on the 29th of March in Ireland, we can now, if we're fully vaccinated with two doses of vaccine, 2 weeks later, visit other people's houses who are also fully vaccinated, and we can hug them, we can even kiss them. So it is now this opening to start social engagement and even physical intimacy with other people who we don't know if both parties are fully vaccinated. Now, that's mainly applying to people over 85 years of age and healthcare workers, but we're really hoping over the next few weeks in Ireland, and certainly 3 months, to have very large numbers of people vaccinated. So we have got a model here for how to start some gentle socialising again. My view is it has to be gradual, it has to be stepwise, it has to be cautious. It's like walking on a new path that we haven't been on before, because in my view this B117 variant that we're now facing is different from the one from last year. So I strongly support a gentle reopening that's gradual, and it depends on what social values you have as to what you open first. In Ireland today we've chosen all our kids are back to school, and that's great. We've also got builders who build residential homes back building residential homes again today, and that's our step forward. So it is a case of values.
Yeah, Tim, what do you say to that? That it is a case of values and cautious is the best way?
Well, I think I listened to a Swedish epidemiologist, quite a famous one now, and he said we'll know more in a year or two. And I think that's right. I think that in reality, what will transpire is that the extreme lockdown measures that have been practiced in the UK and in Ireland aren't efficacious, and that the information that I gave you about pubs is correct, that if you prioritise social distancing and hygiene and trust the people, which are the three pillars in Sweden, you'll do just as well as Ireland or England. So I think with respect to Sam, he's got to deal with the rules he's got. I think it's been overdone, and guys like Ivor Cummins, I've listened to from Ireland, are more on the right track. But we'll know more in a year or two.
Sam, what do you say to that statistic quoted by Tim earlier? 50 million customers went through his doors. Tim, did you say you had no cases related back to hospitality?
No outbreak as defined by the authority, which is two or more cases.
Okay.
Our staff who are in the pubs, this is a very interesting point, Claire, did catch COVID exactly in line with the population. And so they were in the busiest pubs in the UK, the busiest rooms in the UK, and they didn't get COVID at a higher rate than the population. And even more interesting, when the pub shut, because they had to register to come back to work in the last few days, they've still got COVID in line with the population. So social distancing within pubs, even though Donoghue's and Merry and Row in Dublin works and you could have opened without making the situation worse in Ireland. I'll have to be careful where I go now for having said that, I know.
Sam, is that right that you know, the statistics show that you're not at higher risk of getting COVID in hospitality venues? The staff even aren't getting COVID at a higher rate than the general population.
I think it depends how it's done. And I'm thinking back to those wonderful sort of December squashed parties that we all had back in December 2019, where there might be, you know, people piled five or six deep at the bar looking for a drink, and you know, you turn around, your elbows are knocking against somebody else's drinks and somebody else coming out with the drinks. So that sort of loud, crowded, fun experience that we all really love and enjoy and miss is definitely a high risk for transmitting COVID. The contrast it would make is last summer we did open lots of hospitality and restaurants in Ireland relatively safely in June, July, August. They were mostly tables 2 metres away from each other, table service. People who were serving were wearing masks, and a lot of it was outdoors, of course, as well. In the UK, it's outdoors that they've opened today, and that's a first step that I think is safer. So I think those are safe, gradual way to go, socialising. So with people you live with, sitting down at tables 2 metres apart from each other, and that I think is possibly a next step in our journey of relaxing. I would suggest, like Chris Whitty in the UK, we give a 5-week interval, so we've time to see how much impact we've got from the changes today in education and building homes, rather than rushing into it. But I think that could be a pathway on the step.
Yeah, Tim, a 5-week interval doesn't seem to me as though that would suit you at all.
Well, it's a very difficult one. I think where extreme caution falls down is financially. And so far, the markets have been pretty good with governments and letting them borrow as much money as they want. But you can only borrow it once. And I think certainly I've looked at the UK figures. It's the highest increase in borrowings we've ever had in the UK, and if it hasn't been a good cause, the government will start to run out of money, and I think that's the difficulty. It's the expense of extreme caution.
I think, Claire, in Ireland it's slightly different. A lot of our industry is based on export of computer chips, export of pharmaceuticals, export of agricultural produce. Unfortunately, those are all essential industries, and our export market has actually not only continued but actually grown substantially last year and the beginning of this year, because those areas have really done well in the pandemic. So Ireland is slightly different from UK.
Can I come back to the vaccines again with you, Sam? Do you think it would be acceptable for a member of staff in a pub, be that a security person or a member of the bar staff, to be given the job of checking somebody's vaccine passport, let's call it that?
Yeah, so I think the whole vaccine passport concept has some difficulties because there isn't one that really certifies that it really exists at present. So it's a complicated thing to do. It has been done for yellow fever vaccine in the past, and many of us who travelled around Africa and Asia had to present a yellow fever cert with our passport before you can even get into a country. And if you don't present it, you literally have to pay €100 to get the vaccine in your arm as you go into the country. So there is a model for this, but whether it will work for COVID to me is not clear. There are so many different vaccines for COVID. Some people are exempt from vaccination. So I think there's still work to be done on developing that concept of how a vaccine passport could help you. We may do it for people coming into the country, for example, from Israel, who've been fully vaccinated with, you know, two doses and 2 weeks later. And if they have a negative test, say these people are okay. So I think there are targeted uses for a vaccine passport, but I'm not sure about entry into pubs. I think that needs to be safe for all the patrons rather than just the people who've been vaccinated.
And what does that mean? That you have to have social distancing and sit in your own group rather than asking people whether they've been vaccinated?
Yeah.
So it sounds, Tim, as though it's not going to be much crack.
Was that to me?
Yeah, I mean, you won't have to ask for a vaccine passport, but you'll have to keep people in their own groups and keep them away from strangers.
I think provided everyone has access to the vaccine, which is going to happen in Ireland within a few months, then if you're vulnerable, you can be vaccinated. And if you're not vulnerable, it's up to you whether you want to take a vaccine. It's being realistic, I think, about the dangers. For example, I don't think you can say to a 19-year-old, you definitely should be vaccinated, when the statistics show, and I'm sure Sam will back this up, your chances of being very seriously ill from COVID are vanishingly small, less than flu, according to some epidemiologists, if you're young. So I don't see 19-year-olds in Dublin being asked to show a passport to go into a pub. It's too big brotherish.
Sam, would you address that point for us?
I agree that the risk of death from COVID for people, say, 20 or 25 years of age is around less than the 1 in 20,000 rate, which is, to me, a very important rate, because that's the rate of death from car accidents every year in Ireland from those of us who use the roads. So that's a risk that we're already taking. It sort of transforms a very sort of nerdy statistic into a reality, because it's the risk we all choose to take by using the roads for a year. And once the risks is less than the known rate of something we're already doing, that's getting into an acceptable range. There's a second dimension to it, and that those young people might spread it to their elderly people, maybe, who are vulnerable and unvaccinated for one reason or other, but that's the sort of herd effect, if you like, which is different. But I do feel we need to open up society. We'll all go mad, if you like, if we're kept sort of locked up, for forever. And this COVID thing, unfortunately, Claire, I believe, is going to go on for 3 to 5 years. It's not there'll be no definitive solution, in 2 months' time. So it's something we have to find ways of existing in a happy, enjoyable, creative way. But I think it may involve new ways of doing music concerts, where we're, maybe 10,000 people in Slane Castle spread out in the field, with each one on a rug, and you're on your own rug, and you're 2 metres from the next group's rug. But we could still enjoy some great outdoor music potentially in those newly envisaged venues. We also have to deal with keeping out new variants, and that's what we're doing now with all this quarantine and hospital mandatory hotel quarantine of people coming in from high risk countries. So this idea of getting it down, keeping it down and keeping it out, that to me is the straightforward way of communicating what we need to do. In the past, we've been good at getting it down. We haven't been so good at keeping it down, and certainly up until recently we haven't really tried seriously about keeping it out. So it's really an integrated strategy of COVID control is needed, not just one thing about pubs. And certainly we all need to socialise for our existence. We're social animals, if you like, to quote Aristotle.
But in a careful way, socialise, you're saying, or we all go mad, but we're still going to have to be careful about this for 3 to 5 years?
I think it'll be small steps, and the first step will probably be outdoors, as you've seen in the UK, outdoor dining or drinking at tables 2 metres away with table service. Then maybe gradually, like we had last June, July, August, indoors with tables spaced out, so we're not in crowded venues, we're in uncrowded venues, if you like, that are well ventilated and maybe with servers wearing masks. So I think there are steps we can do on this path to getting back towards a happier life. Yeah. How far we can push that remains to be seen.
Tim, how do you feel about that, about the scenario outlined by Sam?
Yeah. I think it's too pessimistic by a long way. The foremost expert that I've been aware of in this area is a guy called John Ioannidis from Stanford University. And he said if you're under 70, on his analysis of many, many statistics, COVID is half as dangerous as flu.
So it's I don't know who that person is. Sam, are you aware of that, of the person quoted?
But let me tell you, we can look it
up
later.
No, I mean, we've got to be careful, you know, who we're quoting here and what they're saying.
John Ioannidis, you can look him up. He's a foremost expert. Obviously, everything I say, and that's what the radio and what media is about. He says it's half as dangerous as flu. But it's more dangerous than flu overall. So I'm not trying to dodge any secret. If he's right, Claire, then you shouldn't put in one person per rug Swain Castle.
Sam, you said you're not aware of that expert as quoted by Tim, but what about the statistic he's used there?
I would say I was happy with the under 20s and even under 25s, that the risks there are approximately the same as car accidents, which is one we choose to take every year. For people under 70, I disagree. Even people in their 50s, unfortunately, 50s to 60s, we're still seeing around a 1 in 1,000 death rate from COVID. So if it goes rampant in that age group, a 1 in 1,000 death rate, Claire, is not a reasonably acceptable death rate for me, you know, or anyone between 50 and 60. So I disagree for the older bunch of the under 70s, but would agree with those who are under 70 and under 25, then that starts to become true.
Okay. All right, listen, we're going to leave it there, but thank you both very much indeed, Professor Sam McConkey and Tim Martin, founder and chairman of Wetherspoons. And Tim, we wish you well in your limited reopening in the UK today. Let's take a break. David Coleman after this.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.